This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In today's program, you can hear our feature, Justice and Peace. First, however, our bulletin of church news, followed by Africa News Panorama. We shall close today's program with Sports Roundup. I am Festus Tarawali. Pope Leo XIV on Tuesday morning received in audience members of the Football Club of Naples in southern Italy, which on Friday won the Italian Serie A league title. In his address, the Pope reflected on the importance of teamwork and the educational value of sports. Joseph Tulloch reports.
Pope Leo XIV met on Tuesday morning with members of SSC Napoli, the football club which on Friday won the Italian league title. Before beginning his speech, the Pope joked with the players, suggesting that they hadn't wanted to applaud for him because the press had reported that he was a Roma fan.
Non volevano applaudire perché nella stampa dice che io sono romanista. Ma benvenuti.
Pope Leo then read aloud a brief speech, beginning by congratulating the team for their victory, which he called a great celebration for all of Naples. The Pope told the club that in the past, when a team won a trophy, attention was paid to the performances and skills of individual players. Today, however, we recognise, the Pope said, that it's the team who wins the championship. The players, the manager and his staff, and the sports club as a whole. This, Pope Leo said, was the aspect of Napoli's victory that he wanted to emphasise the most. The example of a team in the broad sense which works together with individual talents put at the service of the whole. The Pope then added that he wanted to briefly discuss the educational role of sport. Unfortunately, he said, when sport becomes a business, it risks losing the values that make it educational, and it can even become harmful from an educational point of view. This is particularly important when it comes to teenagers, the Pope noted, saying that what is at stake is the human development of young people. Pope Leo then brought his address to an end by thanking the squad for their visit, congratulating them again on their victory, and offering his blessing to the team members and their families. He also passed on best wishes from Rosa, one of his cooks. Congratulations, he said, also from a lady who's been cooking for me recently, and who is from Naples, Rosa, a big fan.
Dice tanti auguri, vorrebbe essere anche qui, lei, la signora Rosa.
I'm Joseph Tulloch.
Earlier on Tuesday, the Pope received an audience Sister Alessandra Smerilli, along with Cardinal Fabio Baggio, Undersecretary of the same dicastery. Pope Leo on Tuesday morning also met with Cardinal Giovanni Angelo Becciu before receiving the credential letters of the new ambassador of the Arab Republic of Egypt to the Holy See, His Excellency Hussein El-Shahati. Holy Mass was celebrated in St. Peter's Basilica on Monday afternoon for ambassadors of African nations who are accredited to the Holy See and Italy, along with several people taking part in the Jubilee pilgrimage entitled Hope for Peace in Africa. Concelebrating the Mass were Cardinals Francis Arinze and Peter Appiah Turkson, along with Archbishop Fortunatus Nwachukwu. At the end of the Mass, which came a day after the 62nd Africa Day celebrations, Pope Leo XIV made an unannounced appearance to greet the delegations and offer his encouragement. In his unscripted remarks, spoken in English, the Pope said the 2025 Holy Year inspires us all and invites us all to look for hope, but also to be signs of hope. How important it is that each and every baptized person feels himself or herself called by God to be a sign of hope in our world today, said Pope Leo. Faith gives Christians strength, he continued, noting that our faith enables us to see the light of Jesus Christ in our lives and to understand how important it is to live our faith not only on Sundays, not only during a pilgrimage, but each and every day. Pope Leo said faith allows us to be filled with the hope that only Jesus Christ can give us. He went on to express his hope that all of us together will continue to work united as brothers and sisters to praise our God, to recognize that everything we have and everything we are is a gift from God, and to place those gifts at the service of others. The Pope then thanked the ambassadors and pilgrims for living their own faith in Jesus Christ. Sister Simona Brambilla, prefect of the Dicastery for Institutes of Consecrated Life and Societies of Apostolic Life, has addressed participants at the ongoing symposium of the Confederation of Conferences of Major Superiors of Africa and Madagascar, COMSAM. The meeting is taking place in South Africa on the theme, Hope, Synodality and the Empowerment of Consecrated Life in Africa. Sheila Pirish reports.
The COMSAM 2025 AGM opened on Monday, May 26 at St. John Vianney Seminary in Pretoria, South Africa, with a solemn Eucharistic celebration presided over by Cardinal Stephen Brislin, the Archbishop of Johannesburg and President of the Southern African Catholic Bishops' Conference, SACBC. More than 50 delegates from all six regional conferences of consecrated men and women, representing over 108,000 religious across Africa, are gathered to chart the future of consecrated life on the continent. A highlight of the opening was the presence of Sister Simona Brambilla, the prefect of the Dicastery for Consecrated Life and former missionary in Mozambique. In her address, Sister Brambilla offered a deeply inspiring keynote on the theme of Jubilee, Synodality and Hope, using three powerful African images, the tree, the palaver heart, and the pot. Her call to return to the roots of each congregation while remaining open to embracing all cultures resonated deeply with participants. Among those moved by her words was Father Anand Taluri, a missionary from the Pontifical Institute for Foreign Missions and president of the Major Superiors Conference in Tunisia.
What I loved so much in Sister Simona Brambilla in her talk is the tree. In all its dimensions, the tree is a spiritual house where we have to come together as one church, all of us under the same tree, and we should never forget the roots. The roots are very important, and we should care and take care of these roots. Each congregation has different charisms, the person. So I would like to take home this aspect of the communion among all the peoples, among all the cultures, and secondly, the tree. We, church as the tree, should never forget its roots. Each congregation has a tree, should never forget its roots, but at the same time, this tree should really bring all people together, embrace all people.
Delegates at COMSAM are also discussing new leadership and the challenge ahead, including the need for more personalized formation for new vocations and stronger intra-African communication. As the COMSAM 2025 AGM continues this week, the spirit of hope, unity and synodality remains very much alive in Pretoria. In South Africa, for Vatican News, I'm Sheila Pirsch.
You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
Kenya has announced its support for Morocco's autonomy plan for the disputed Western Sahara region, which it occupied in 1975 and over which it claims sovereignty. In a joint statement following talks between the foreign ministers of the two countries, Kenya said Morocco's plan was the most credible and realistic solution to the conflict that started more than 50 years ago, when the Polisario Front was formed and started fighting for the independence of Western Sahara. Kenya joins a few countries that back Morocco's claim that Western Sahara is its province. The two countries have strengthened diplomatic and trade relations, with Kenya revealing that it will soon start exporting tea, coffee, and fresh foods to Morocco. South Africa's Communications Minister Solly Malatsi has clarified that his proposed draft policy on equity equivalent investments in the ICT sector is not tailored specifically to Elon Musk's Starlink communications company. The proposed policy would allow companies to explore alternative investment programs beyond traditional black ownership requirements. Foreign-owned communications companies are currently required to sell 30% of equity in their local subsidiaries to historically disadvantaged groups to obtain an operating license. The president of Zimbabwe, Emmerson Mnangagwa, has signed into law a bill that requires motor vehicle owners to buy a radio license before acquiring vehicle insurance. The law targets only those who have radio in their vehicles. Each vehicle owner will have to pay a total of $92 annually in order to listen to the radio in his or her vehicle. The law prohibits insurance companies from issuing licenses to motorists who have not yet paid the radio license fee. The measure is meant to widen the sources of revenue for the Zimbabwe Broadcasting Corporation, whose other sources, such as grants from the government and advertising, are no longer sufficient to pay workers and to cover other costs. Many Zimbabweans' vehicle owners have described the fee as too high and unfair. You are tuned to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio.
You are welcome to this week's edition of Justice and Peace. The United Nations Security Council has reported that over 130 armed conflicts are currently taking place in different parts of the world. The report was delivered last Thursday, May 22nd, during an open debate on the protection of civilians in armed conflicts. The meeting took place at the United Nations headquarters in New York and was attended by ambassadors of various states, humanitarian agencies, and human rights organizations. The head of the Holy See's Permanent Observer Mission at the United Nations, Archbishop Gabriel Kacha, addressed the diplomats and expressed concern about the increasing number and intensity of armed conflicts around the world, which continue to inflict profound suffering on civilian populations. He called for compliance with international humanitarian law.
It is fundamental that, even in the midst of conflict, the protection of the human person and its inherent God-given dignity remain at the center of all collective efforts. It is particularly troubling that this fundamental principle is increasingly imperiled by the evolving nature of the contemporary war. The deliberate targeting of civilians, including women, children, and humanitarian personnel, the destruction of essential infrastructure such as hospitals, schools, and places of worship, and the denial of humanitarian access to those in urgent need are of great concern. These violations represent a grave affront to the foundations of international security. In this regard, the OLC considers it essential to put an end to the use of indiscriminate weapons, landmines and cluster munitions, and to stop the deployment of explosive weapons in populated areas. These, together with the cessation of arms production and stockpiling, constitute concrete and urgent steps toward a better protection of civilians. My delegation commends the valuable work of the United Nations Mine Action Service and calls for the implementation of the political declaration on the use of explosive weapons in populated areas. Furthermore, the increasing use of new and emerging technologies for military purposes is also of deep concern. These developments raise complex legal, ethical, and humanitarian concerns, especially when the use of such technologies could harm civilians. The Holy See strongly supports the proposal of a legally binding instrument prohibiting lethal autonomous weapon systems by 2026.
Archbishop Gabriel Kacha, the head of the Holy See's Permanent Observer Mission at the United Nations in New York, speaking there last Thursday at the UN Security Council on the urgent need to protect civilians who are trapped in the midst of armed conflicts. This month, Greece is holding the presidency of the Security Council. Its Minister for Foreign Affairs, Georgios Gerapetridis, addressed the media in New York on behalf of 80 UN member states who are strongly committed to safeguarding the basics on the protection of civilians in armed conflicts. First, he made the following revelation.
This year, civilians in armed conflicts continue to live under unthinkable conditions of constant danger, insecurity, and suffering. The United Nations recorded at least 36,000 civilian deaths in 14 armed conflicts in 2024. The use of explosive weapons in populated areas caused tens of thousands of casualties across many conflicts, while landmines and explosive remnants of war continue to endanger civilians. Gaza faces the worst humanitarian crisis, with civilians facing starvation and being at critical risk of famine. In Sudan, civilians bear the brunt of violence, with millions internally displaced and over half of the population facing high levels of acute food insecurity. Widespread civilian suffering was also reported in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Mali, Mozambique, Myanmar, Nigeria, Somalia, South Sudan, the Syrian Arab Republic, Ukraine, and elsewhere.
Mr. Gerapetridis called upon parties in conflicts to respect international law in all circumstances. He also called upon United Nations member states to use their influence to ensure that all parties respect those laws.
The protection of civilians is not optional. It is a legal obligation under international humanitarian law and a moral imperative we cannot afford to neglect. Civilian women and men, children, older persons, and persons with disabilities all suffer. Health workers, farmers, teachers are killed, injured, and forced to flee. Civilians are too often targeted or simply abandoned in the calculus of war. Their protection must not be a secondary consideration. It must be central to all military planning and political decisions. We reiterate our call to parties to conflict to protect civilians and civilian objects, including those indispensable to civilian survival, and to treat all persons in their power humanely.
Humanitarian workers are one of the groups of civilians who are sometimes targeted by fighting groups in conflicts. Mr. Gerapetridis condemned violence against them and the use of aid for political reasons in armed conflicts.
Last year was the deadliest year on record for humanitarian personnel, when more than 360 humanitarians were killed in 20 countries. This has to stop. We reaffirm our determination to take concrete measures and use diplomatic means to ensure the safety and security of humanitarian personnel and to enable them to carry out their activities and mandate in accordance with humanitarian principles.
Journalists who cover conflicts are another group of civilians who are also targeted by fighting factions. Mr. Gerapetridis called for their protection, describing their service as vital in many ways, including negotiations to end conflicts.
We recognize the important work of journalists, media professionals, and associated personnel, and urge parties to conflict to respect their professional independence and rights. At a time when misinformation and disinformation have become easier and widespread, often fueling conflicts, independent media and on-site reporting are of particular importance. We reaffirm that accountability for violations is essential. Alleged violation of international humanitarian law and alleged human rights violations and abuses in armed conflict must systematically be met with credible investigations, and perpetrators must be held accountable. Impunity cannot be the norm. Impunity is not just a failure of justice, it is a license for repetition.
Georgios Gerapetritis, Greece's Minister for Foreign Affairs, addressing there the media in New York last Thursday on behalf of 80 countries that have committed themselves to safeguarding the basics on the protection of civilians in armed conflicts. And that was Justice and Peace for this week. This has been Johnny Baptist Tomosime.
This is a sports roundup and welcome to the program. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Kenya's Sports Cabinet Secretary Salimu Mvurya has dismissed concerns that Kenya is not ready to host the African Nations Championships CAN in August this year. The Cabinet Secretary says the Confederation of African Football, CAF, have already given Kenya the thumbs up and everything is a go. His response comes amidst lingering fears over the country's readiness to co-host the continental event with regards to the pitches to be used. Works continue at the Moi International Sports Centre, Kasarani and Nyayo Stadium, which have been designated as the two venues that Kenya will use to co-host the tournament. Just over 2 months to the opening ceremony in August, these fears have gone on the overdrive with reports that the continental governing body have given a negative assessment of the quality of grass that is used on the two pitches. According to some media reports, the Confederation of African Football inspectors said that the grass is of low quality and not in compliance with world standards. These reports sparked some annoyance across social media, with many comments castigating the government for their incompetence in preparing the pitches in time. But Mvurya says everything is progressing as per schedule and asked Kenyans to ignore any reports to the contrary. The 2024 edition of the African Nations Championship is set to be co-hosted by Kenya and its East African neighbors Tanzania and Uganda from August 30th. This will mark the first time the tournament will be jointly hosted by three countries. While it was originally scheduled to take place in February 2025, the Confederation of African Football postponed the tournament to August in order to allow for more time for preparations. This postponement also allowed for an additional qualifying round so that the list of participating teams is finalized. Besides Kenya, Uganda's Minister of State for Sports, Peter Ogwang, and Tanzania's Deputy Minister for Culture, Arts and Sports, Hamisi Mwinjuma, have also confirmed the fact that their countries are fully prepared and committed to hosting the event successfully. The Kenya national team face Morocco, Democratic Republic of Congo, Angola and Zambia in Group A. The Ethiopian Athletics Federation has confirmed the fact that the May 26th to June 1st, 2025, 13th edition Under 20 Athletics Championships, alongside the 4th edition Under 18 Athletics Championships, are currently underway in Dire Dawa City. In a recent press release, the Federation's President, Commander Salesh Sehen, highlighted the significance of these championships, stating the fact that the event aims to identify and nurture talented athletes who can represent Ethiopia on the international stage, in this way reinforcing the nation's esteemed position in the world of athletics. He explained further that the selected athletes will have the opportunity to compete in the upcoming African Championships for athletes under 18 and under 20 scheduled to take place in Abeokuta in Nigeria. The championships will also provide under 20 athletes from various regional clubs with a platform to showcase their talent and secure opportunities for their athletic careers. The event has attracted an estimated 1,192 athletes from 8 regions, 2 city administrations and 35 clubs, making it a significant gathering for young talent in Ethiopian athletics. As preparations continue, the Federation remains optimistic about the impact of these championships in Ethiopia. As the sports world prepares for the Jubilee of Sport scheduled to take place in mid-June, the Augustinianum Institute here in Rome says it plans to host an international conference to explore the desire of the church to support the momentum of hope offered by sport. According to Atletica Vaticana, the Jubilee of Sport is scheduled for June 14th and 15th and will open with this international conference entitled The Momentum of Hope. Jointly organized by the Dicastery for Culture and Education, the conference will be held at the Augustinian Patristic Pontifical Institute, just a stone's throw away from the St. Peter's Square. The prefect of the Dicastery, Cardinal Jose Tolentino de Mendoza, and the president of the International Olympic Committee, Thomas Bach, are expected to deliver the opening remarks. Afterwards, some four athletes will share their life experiences from the field. These athletes will include 22-year-old Letsile Tebogo from Botswana, who won the Olympic 200-meters championship at the Paris 2024 Games. Anyone can register to participate in the Momentum of Hope Sports International Conference, and if you'd like to do so, just go to the online platform at www.dce.va and follow the instructions. And on that note, we come to the end of today's edition of our Sports Roundup. Until next week, at the same time, my name is Kanyan Tagodifri Kampamba.
You have been listening to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio. In our next program, at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our feature, Health and Healing. I am Festus Tarawali, and do join us then. Praise be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.